Acts chapter 1, verse 15, we're looking at replacing the fallen and moving forward. Replacing the fallen and moving forward. Acts 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, and so much as that field is called in their proper tongue, Haseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would help us to see the truths from your word, Lord. Please teach us what we do when someone has fallen, no matter how it may be, what the circumstances may be, Lord, especially when it's somebody in a position of leadership, Lord, how we are to move forward. I pray you'd help us to see these truths now, and please speak to us through your word. God, thank you that we have the Bible. Thank you that we can preach your word. I pray you teach us through it, challenge us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love that we have the Bible. And praise God that we have the word of God. It's such an amazing thing how you can read the word of God and God will convict you of something that it might not even be something that is necessarily being talked about right there, but God will use the Word of God to convict you. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for Bible preaching. Amen. I thank God that we have a class, and we have a class full of men that want to learn how to preach the Bible expositorily and preach what it's saying and teach what it's saying. I'm thankful for that. That's a side note. Now we'll get into the sermon here. But as we come into the book of Acts, we come to the replacement of Judas. An apostle needs to ordain another apostle to take his place because he fell. Obviously, we all know about Judas, you know, the traitor, how he betrayed the Lord and betrayed him with a kiss and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You know, one of the most sad things to hear of is when a Christian leader falls in sin. It doesn't matter if they're saved or not. It doesn't matter if they would identify as a Baptist or not. If they hold the name Christian at all, the lost world doesn't distinguish. It's always sad whenever that happens, because it's always going to bring people down. It's always going to turn people away from the Lord every time it happens. I cringe every time I hear of it. What was that guy's name? He was there in Colorado Springs, Ted something. Pastored a mega church. I mean, they were 4,000 or 5,000 people, and he ends up getting caught with a male prostitute. I cringe when I hear that. I think, why? Because that just brings reproach on the name of Christ. That's all it does, and it happens far more often than we want. It's a sad thing when that happens, though. So in addition to bringing harm to the cause of Christ, it also brings hurt for those closely associated with them and can turn people away from the Lord. Whether they're even right on doctrine or not, I'm not discussing that. I'm just saying when someone like that falls, the people that follow them are greatly hurt. We should never be for the hurt of people. Right. We should never be like, good, that's what they get. No. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. Take heed lest ye also fall. You see a brother fall, you better take heed lest ye also fall. Amen. I'm telling you, even if they don't call themselves a Baptist or not, if they're saved, they're your brother in Christ. They're your sister in Christ. You better take heed lest ye also fall. You can hurt for them too if that happens.
We should. We shouldn't want that for them. Amen. Hope they learn their lesson. No. Maybe you need to learn some lessons. I mean, you got everything straightened out. You know, does God need to teach you some lessons? I mean, because none of us have it all figured out. We all do wrong.
Right. Fallen Christian leader, these are the circumstances that the first church here in Jerusalem has found themselves in. You know, have you thought about that? That, yes, the Lord died, resurrected. There's a lot of excitement with that. But think about it. One of the key founding members, if I could put it like that. All right, one of the 12. The main ones that the Lord was working with, they went with the Lord everywhere He went. One of the main leaders of this movement, which was really God said, hey, when I'm going to get this thing kicked off, I'm looking to you 12 right here. And obviously God's God. He knew what Judas was going to do. But hey, from the outside, the world and even those that were members of that church didn't know that. Just like today, we don't know what the Lord knows. We don't know till after it happens. So we'd be looking at this guy like, man, he's a leader. We need to follow this guy. Now put yourself there. Put in that circumstance. You're a member of that church. And you've been going with them when you can. I mean, they left everything. You know, they quit their jobs and all that to follow the Lord for 3.5 years. And you know, you catch up with them when you can. You got a family to support. I get all that. You know, God didn't call you to do that. Whatever. We're putting ourselves in Jerusalem, okay? The time of the Lord's ministry. All right? But you, man, you catch up with them when you can. You're there every time they're back in Jerusalem. You're like, man, we're here. We're here for all this stuff. We want to be a part of this. This is exciting. And you're looking at, man, who are these 12 guys always sitting with Jesus? And you start listing them off and you get to know them. And maybe this one guy, man, he's just such a nice guy. You know, I'm able to relate with him. I can talk with him real good. And you start building just a good relationship with him. And you keep getting closer and closer and closer and closer to this guy. And you're like, out of all the guys there, you just start hitting it off with him. And he's helping you. He's teaching you some things. He's like, hey, you should have seen what the Lord did when we were gone. It was amazing. I mean, he fed the 5,000. He walked on water when we were there in Galilee. Galilee, it was amazing. You should have seen it. And you're just like, wow, just hearing all these stories from him and just building a relationship with him. And you're getting close to him. Looking up to him. You think, man, this guy taught me some things. He's been a real help to me. And then all of a sudden, you know, everything happens on that fateful night. You know, he betrays the Lord, sells him 30 pieces of silver, betrays him with a kiss, goes out, hangs himself. As Peter says, that his bowels gushed out as he hung himself, either when they cut him down or the rope snapped, the tree branch snapped, I don't know. But he did hang himself, but something happened that he ended up falling down, busting his guts open, and his bowels gushed out. That's what the Bible says. That's a pretty gruesome fall wherever he was hanging at. He might have been over a cliff or something, just some slope or something that he just, maybe the rope snapped or something after he was dead and he fell down it and hit some rocks or something, just busted his guts open. I mean, that's what the Bible describes happening. You ever seen a dead animal on the road with his guts all hanging out? Okay, this is what happened here. This is what the Bible says happened. And you're thinking, but not Judas. I mean, he was my friend. He's the one that taught me all these things. I was close to him. Now, we look at Judas today and we're just like, you know, I mean, that's how we see Judas today because we know the whole story. But that's not how they saw him. I mean, I'm telling you, no one had a clue it was Judas. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, and they're all like, who is it, Lord? Is it I? Is it me? They didn't have a clue it was Judas. Judas was just one of them. He was right there going to all the meetings with them, sitting there with them, listening at Jesus' feet, learning at Jesus' feet. I have no doubt that Judas went and preached the gospel. I have no doubt that he even maybe cast out devils. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if he was there casting out devils. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. And then he goes and does all this. And now we remove ourselves from it because we know the whole story and we think Judas is just evil.
I mean, how could they like him? How could they be friends with him? Because they didn't know, because he was a wolf. That's how. And they got close to him and built relationships with him. And now put yourselves here, and what we read is happening, and Peter just gets up. I mean, have you ever read through this and you're like, why in the world does Peter even bring this up? You ever been reading through this and wondered, why does Peter bring this up? I mean, what makes him bring this up? Just, it's like out of nowhere. I mean, okay, the Lord ascends, and then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. And where does this come from? Why does Peter just out of nowhere just all of a sudden stand up and say, hey, we got to deal with this thing right here? You ever thought about that? Now, as we look and understand people, I think people were talking about it. It's not just out of nowhere. Peter, he's the pastor of this church, and he's there watching what's going on. I mean, and he's recognized. He's like, man, people are hurt about this. Now, think about it. How would you all feel if I did something like that? If I betrayed all of you, would you be hurt, or would you be like, nah? I hope you'd be hurt if I did something like that. That's what they're going through. Many of them. They're like, how could he? How could he do that? Hey, man, just even the apostles amongst themselves. You guys remember when, man, Peter, you remember when you walked on water? And Judas was right next to you and he, how could he do this? You think they didn't have conversations like that? You think they didn't talk about it? And Peter hears all the conversation going on as they're there praying and waiting for the Lord as he told them to wait. And they're hearing all this stuff. And Peter's like, this is too much. We got to do something. See, Peter wasn't one to just hold back and wait. He's like, we'll just wait it out. That's not Peter. I mean, if you read anything about him, he's the one walking out on the water. No one else did. Nobody else had the faith to do it. I mean, when they say, hey, the Lord's risen, and Peter and John, they take off running. Peter first, boom, he's out the gates, he's gone. John runs and passes him. And then he gets to the open tomb, and he just stops before he gets in. And Peter just blasts right past him and runs right in. He's like, where is the Lord? I mean, that's Peter. Peter's not one to sit around and wait. He said, let's get this done. Let's get this taken care of. And that's what Peter wants to do. He doesn't want to stand around and wait. So why would Peter just bring this up out of the blue? Because they're thinking about it. They're talking about it. It's on their hearts. And then maybe at some point it hits him. He's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's like, I remember that verse I read in Psalms. Or maybe it's that he asked the Lord about it when the Lord was after his resurrection. They spent those 40 days together. Maybe he said, Lord, what do we do about Judas? You see, there's a lot the Bible doesn't tell us. See, now we can get into this, and I'll tell you why I believe that some people think that this was a mistake, that they shouldn't have elected Matthias to be an apostle. They think they should have waited for the day of Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to come. Look, I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why when we get into it. But he's listed with the 12, and we never see another list with Paul put on it. So God obviously thought it was okay. Plus, when you look at the requirements, I don't think Paul met them. Amen. To be one of the 12 apostles. And I mean, we'll talk about that. But some people say, well, this was a mistake. No, I disagree. I think they did exactly what God wanted them to. So maybe Peter said, Lord, what do we do about Judas? Maybe Jesus taught them about this. And all the apostles were on board with it. The 11 that were there were like, yeah, we need to do this, Peter. Now's the time. And Peter stands up and speaks. We don't know what conversation. Maybe the night before they had a conversation together as the pastors of this church and said, look, Peter, we've got to do something about it. You remember what the Lord told us? He said, here's how we're to handle this. See, we don't know that, but we do know that it was recorded in the scriptures and God never rebuked them for doing it. So obviously God's for it. God is okay with what they did. He never tells them what they did was wrong. So Peter decides to stand up and he says, hey, something needs to happen right here. Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. So he says, hey, this is just weighing on my heart. Maybe the Lord told him, look, here it is, Peter. Or maybe, you know, he just read it himself and came across it. I don't know. Again, all these people are heartbroken and confused. And Peter decides something has to be done. From this example, what we see happening right here at the end of chapter 1 in the book of Acts, God shows us how we should respond when a spiritual leader falls. He shows us the response we should take. And look, there's a lot of times that the exact opposite is done of what happens here. See, we like to talk about, oh, the Bible's our final authority, sole authority, and all matters of faith and practice until it comes down to faith and practice, and then we don't do it that way. Amen. But God's showing us, here's what you do, because this is exactly what happened. A spiritual leader fell, and it's going to happen again, I promise you. That's why I tell you guys all the time, don't, yes, you follow me, but don't put your... set your eyes and your heart on me. Set your eyes and your heart on the Lord. That's Amen. Who you need to be looking to. Because if I go down, hey, you keep going. Amen. You just, hey, if you can help me back up, help me back up. But if not, just step right over me and just keep going, keep serving God. I'm telling you, don't go down because I go down. Don't get mad at God if I do something stupid. You just keep serving God. This is God's giving us the example of this. But because there's so much, you know, man worship within Christianity where we, hey, we just follow this guy, follow this guy, follow this guy. No, follow him. Amen. Follow him. You follow me as I follow him. That's what you do. Yes, the pastor is there. He's a shepherd and you are to follow him. But you only follow that pastor as he follows the Lord. Amen. And that's what we need to remember. We need to make certain that we're our eyes are on the Lord and we're following the Lord because spiritual leaders are going to fall. And God's showing us, here's how you deal with it when it happens. I know that gets overlooked a lot when you're reading through this first chapter here because everyone focuses on, man, the Lord just ascended and the day of Pentecost is coming. But we forget to put ourselves in that situation, the circumstances they were facing. Maybe a good friend of theirs, I guarantee that hurt every one of those 11 apostles. I guarantee it did, and they were broken over it. Think about it. You spend 3.5 years with somebody, how close you're going to get to them, and not feel betrayed yourself. Wouldn't you feel betrayed as well? I mean, this is where they're at. I guarantee they're hurt about it. And they say, well, we got to do something about this. And that's what's happening right here. They're deciding to do something about it. A spiritual leader has fallen. So now they respond. And our response should be to turn to the Scriptures for direction and trust the Holy Spirit to lead us in what's not clearly spelled out. That's what we need to do. We need to turn to the Scriptures, say, what does the Bible say? I'm going to follow that. And then what's not clearly laid out, I'm going to seek the mind of God on it. I'm going to seek the Holy Spirit's leading in my life. And there's a lot in the Christian life that's like that. There's a lot of things you can say, I know the Bible wants this. Look, I know the Bible wants churches started. That's plain as day in the Scriptures. And churches are going to start churches, and He's going to use men to do it. Properly ordained men to do it. I know God wants that, okay? God doesn't say in the Bible where and when, does He? That's where we have to get the mind of God on it. And this is the same thing. God doesn't spell everything out for us perfect. He expects us to come to Him to seek His face like we just did and get His mind on it. That's why I've said, look, we're planning on April 29th. But God might say no. It might be sooner. He said, it might be in the middle of the summer. It might be in the fall. I don't know. But we're going to follow God. We have our plans and God can change them. Amen. That's kind of how that works. I mean, we're going to know real quick if He changes it if we don't have a building and April 29th rolls around. We're going to know. God said, nope, not yet. Just keep waiting. No, after we start this one, you know, the plan is to get someone else to pastor that and us go start another one. But in the meantime, God may say, hey, you've got this one going. I want you to start another one on Saturdays. Or I want you to get rid of LBC's, you know, evening service and start a third church on Sunday. I don't know. See, if God tells us that, are we willing to follow Him?
Amen.
I hope so. I hope we would. But the Bible doesn't spell out everything specifically for us. So that's why we go to the Scriptures. What does the Bible say? We follow that. And for the details that it doesn't spell out specifically, we seek the mind of God. We spend time with Him in prayer, asking Him to guide and lead us. So that's about the introduction. I'm going to stop right there, and we'll pick up with this next week.